Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
I'm on my own against the wall. The pressure's building, but no, I will never fall. Instead of crying, they hear me roar. And now I see that I'm way better than before.
All right, all right, all right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Wrestle Talking to D with Martez. This is the season finale edition of Wrestle Talking to D. So once again, I thank God for giving us another chance to be here. I want to thank God for giving us another chance to do a show. We love wrestling over here. I love wrestling, so I don't take it lightly. I always want to give God, Jesus Christ, I want to give him the spotlight before I get into anything. So once again, I'm very blessed to be able to talk about wrestling. Tonight we have an awesome show on tap for you. In the world of radio, world of podcasting, people always say that they have an exciting show. These hosts, they always say that they have a pumped up show or an awesome show. But tonight, we legitimately have a great show for you tonight. The next 30 to 40 minutes, we're going to be speaking with one of the greats in the world of wrestling, and that's Lloyd Ananiye. Hopefully I'm not messing up his name. I'm pretty sure he'll let me know once he gets on the show. He's a very decorated wrestler. He's been around a long time, so we're definitely excited to bring him on to the show. But first, I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for everybody that tunes in on a regular basis. We don't want to waste any time. See, Lloyd has called in, but I always say this, okay? Nobody has to accept your invitation. Nobody has to accept your invitation. It could be an invitation to a birthday party. It could be an invitation to an anniversary. It could be an invitation to any type of celebration. Nobody has to say yes. Nobody has to accept your invitation. But before we bring Lloyd on today, I want to thank you, Lloyd, for accepting the invitation. You could have been anywhere else. You could have been doing another podcast with somebody else. But we want to thank you for coming on this show. At this moment, we bring it on to you. A champion, not just a champion in the ring, but a champion in life. So right now we bring the Rough Talk to D, Mr. Lloyd Ananiye. Good evening, Mr. Lloyd Ananiye. Brother. How you doing, sir?
Good, good, good. How you doing, brother? And that's Anawai. So let's see if you can get that correct.
I apologize, Anawai, right?
Yes. First of all, like you said, I heard you say you want to thank God and for the opportunities, and as that's a great because God is good all the time, and we're just blessed to be here on earth and to for Him to provide and cherish these times that we have. A lot of people out here that are struggling and everything, but like I said, God is good all the time, and amen to that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's. Before we get into the wrestling, that's kind of where I want to start with you. How have you been dealing with everything? I know we're pretty much tired of talking about this pandemic. We're tired of talking about this virus. But how have you been able to get through this period of life that so many of us are facing?
Well, I mean, it's been rough for everybody. Even for the wrestling industry, everything's on lockdown right now. If you're not on TV, you're pretty much not doing much. They just started basically doing some some wrestling events around, like in New York and also in Florida. But besides the wrestling, it's just been I don't know how to put it. I mean, it's rough, but then again, I'm just blessed that God is watching over me and my family and everybody out there. But it's rough, but you just got to deal with it. There's a lot of people out there that are having mental issues. Being just depressed and a lot of stuff going on. And I just pray for everybody out there because we will get through this. And, you know, with the good Lord's faith, you know, we just got to continue our faith and follow his path, and he'll get us through this for sure.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now, you're new to our show, and I don't want to be that host that asks you the same questions that other podcasters have asked you, but unfortunately, I might have to ask you those same questions again. But
that's okay.
You've been wrestling. Okay. Where did it all start for you in wrestling? How did you break into the business, per se?
Everybody tries to, you know, they say, you know, we're a dynasty of wrestlers. My dad and my uncle, Afa and Sika, my dad is Afa the Wild Samoan, and it was pretty much, I wouldn't say easy, because he didn't take it easy on any of us to break in the wrestling business, but it was always something to follow your father's footsteps, or, you know, whatever everybody, you know, want to cherish what their parents do. And of course, my dad in wrestling, you know, that was the way to go. I loved it. You know, I loved watching my dad going to the arenas when I was younger, and you know, it was natural for me to get into the business. And also, you know, I wanted to be a police officer, which I do law enforcement as well. But my first thing was to follow my dad's footsteps and get into professional wrestling.
Oh, man, that's fantastic, man. You know, I was actually going through that kind of situation with my father, because my father, he's a pastor and whatever. I've been in church my whole life, you know. I eventually branched out to do some things that I wanted to do. But at the same time, I'm still into the church. So I kind of relate to that in some kind of respects, where you can follow your father's footsteps, but at the same time, you can do some of the things that you want to do in your life.
No. Yes, of course. No. That's
No, I'm done. I'm sorry. I was just getting excited.
No, it's okay. I mean, you get a good point there, because you know, like you said, we do want to follow in our parents, you know, especially our father's footsteps, and that's a blessing right now, that you actually, you know, been in the church all your life, and that's something the same way us Samoans are too, because we were raised up in the church, and my grandfather was a minister for years. He's was like the Hulk Hogan of Samoa. He was the main minister in American Samoa, and we were always raised up in the church, and always to believe in God first. And you know, that's a blessing, man. So, you know, I love that. I love hearing that.
Amen. And before I get deeper into you, because I'm going to get deeper into you, but like from afar, there's a few things that jumped out to me when I look at the Samoan dynasty, as we call it, as everybody call it, but there's something spiritual about you guys, you know, and I found myself the last few months, I want to learn more about you all, because there's just something spiritual about you all. And I don't know if you agree with that, but there's something spiritual and something powerful about that family. I'm not saying you guys don't go through ups and downs and things of that nature, but there's something really like spiritual about you all. Do you agree with that, or is it just me, or is that the truth?
Well, I appreciate that, man. And, we are a very close family. We were raised up that way, you know, to respect our culture. It's called the Fa Samoa custom, you know, culture. And we were raised to respect our elders down to the youngest. And that's just the way the Fa Samoa style is, you know, for how we were raised, and, you know, back in the islands, and, you know, my dad and his brothers and sisters, you know, they raised all, you know, their kids, and my dad raised us up the same way. And we'll pass that on down to our kids to continue that, because, you know, you don't have too many, you know, nationalities that do have a custom, and I'm honored to have a custom, you know, that we love and respect. And like I said, we always put God first, and, that's something that we were always raised to do. And I guess people feel that, because they feel the love that we have. We, you know, we don't have any hatred towards anybody. You know, we love people. We come from the island where they call it the island of love. Samoa is, you know, you come there, we cherish you. You know, we love everybody.
Amen. Because I promise you, I'm going to get into the wrestling stuff, but it's deep, because, and I try to keep it real on this show, even in, I can't speak about no other community, but even because I'm a black guy, you know, I'm just keeping it real. In some cases, we're not as tight as other cultures and like people like you all. Like watching you all has really helped me, you know, to realize that family is first. Family need to stick together no matter what. And that's, you guys are doing a good job of displaying that, you know, whether it's on TV, whether it's, if it's on a radio show, you're talking about it, you're doing a good job of displaying that.
I appreciate that. And yeah, that's what we do. I mean, we, you know, no matter what, everybody goes through their ups and downs in their family. And, you know, that's normal. That's just life. But we are always going to be a tight family. No matter what, we'll always come together and we'll work things out and we'll continue to be that close and tight family that we are.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, you've been wrestling since 1987. You broke in 1987. How has wrestling changed for you from the point you started in 1987 till now? Or is it even any changes that you've seen?
Yeah, it's a lot of changes, man. It's you know, when I was breaking in, when my dad trained us, he trained us old school, you know, to respect the business and be rough and do your job. You know, you want to go out there and make sure that you make a name for yourself. And, you know, right now in the business, there's not like it was before. There was more psychology in the wrestling. There was, you know, nowadays, you know, to me, a lot of the younger guys, the only thing they want to do is high spots. They want to go out there and they want to do all these flips. And yeah, you're going to get a pop out of the people. They're going to like it. But, you know, number one, you're putting your life on the line, you know, because you don't know if you're going to, you know, do that move the proper way. And that's something that a lot of these, you know, generation now, they're making up all these moves. Yeah, they look good, but, you know, look at how many people that got hurt from it. You know, and that's not it. That's not the only thing, you know, but like, I'm going to go back to old school. You know, wrestling was wrestling. You know what I mean? When you wrestled, you wrestled. You did a lockup. You did a move. You know, there's not too much of that no more. There's no storylines as much. And that's the big change in the wrestling.
Wow, man. Wow. Man, you breaking it down. You are breaking it down. Wow.
I'm going to tell like this. That's what we're on here for. You know, you're going to pop the truth. We're going to pop the truth, you know?
Because I was talking to Ricky Morton a couple months ago. He was saying the exact same thing. And Hugo Savinovich, I was talking to him. And a lot of these, and I don't want to call you old school. I don't know if that would be disrespectful, but a lot of the veterans.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah, I got 35 years in this business so far. You know, God bless me with it, and I consider myself old school.
All right. And I think that's a badge of honor being called the old school, because a lot of us, we missed that timing. Like I said, I was talking to them and they said it's the same. They're not pleased with the high flying spots and the risk that these wrestlers are taking just to please people. But I think that's the direction that we're in wrestling. But my question to you right now, what is your place in this current wrestling pot? Like, what is your current a role as a veteran in this current wrestling that we are into right now?
Well, we'll go a little back right now, you know, from when I started. You know, I started at a young age. My dad had me out there, started, and my first actually working for WWF at that time was back in 1992 and 93. Mm-hmm. That's when my dad and my brother, my cousins were there. You know, that's when Yoko broke in, God rest his soul. And my brother and my cousin, the head shrinkers. So, you know, my dad told the office, he goes, hey, put my son in there too. And they put me on there, and I'll never forget it. They put me in there. From that point on, you know, I was on TV, but then they put me on the road. And back then, that's when they had A and B teams. You know, you had one team that went to the West Coast, and then you had the B team that was in the East Coast. So, you know, I stayed on the team and in the East Coast, and, you know, was on the road for a while. You know, I was traveling with my cousin Yoko, and I mean, Rey Mysterio, we were all traveling together, and I was young and I was enjoying it. I was making money, and and it was great to work with a lot of ring veterans that were working back then, and it was a time of my life. And then there came a spot where they wanted to put a character on me. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, what am I going to do now? You know, that time comes where now I'm going to have my own character and get on TV. And, I kind of like froze up a little bit, and I told my dad, I said, send me somewhere. Let me take on this character they want me to do and somewhere else so I can get adjusted to it and then come back and let's go full force with it. I ended up going to Puerto Rico, and my dad sent me down into Carlos Colon, and I went down there, and I spent first 6.5-7 years down there. I mean, strong going, and Carlos Colon always kept me on top, and I mean, I had a great time. I mean, those were my great times. When I was down there, it was to a point where it was hot in that territory. You know, Dutch Mantel came in and started the booking, and boy, he tore that place. He bring a little bit of Memphis down there, and the people bought it, and that place was on fire. So it was good. And then I came back in '96 and went back to work with them, and then re-signed with them in 1998. It was me and my cousin Rosie, and we were going to go into New Age Samoan. So they put us on the road, and we were on the road for a while and had us out there doing dark matches, just to see where we're going to go. And, then we were on contract for 3 years. And then finally, the business is, they changed their mind about things, and that's what they did. And then that's when we went on to work with ECW.
Wow. That's what was it like working with working for or with Vince McMahon? Because we hear a lot of stories about him, but what was that like?
You can hear all the stories you want about Vince, but he's one of the smartest businessmen that I've ever known, and he still is. He's in his 70s, and he is so smart when it comes to this business. You know, he bring it to the way it is right now, and his mind is still rolling, and I consider him one of the best businessmen on this earth. I mean, President Donald Trump can't even mess with him in my book. Vince is good at business, man.
Yeah. I keep telling people
It was good working for him. I mean, he did his thing. I mean, he left you alone, but if he wanted something done and still like to today, if he doesn't like what's going on, he's going to change it. And because it's his company, he's going to do what he sees fit. And, his eyes, he sees what he wants, the vision that he wants. And if it doesn't go the way he wants it, he's going to change it. He's going to make it right. You got to respect him for that.
So, hey, simple as that, and people got to realize that if somebody's in charge of something, they can change up things whenever they want to. And a lot of people don't understand that. Even in the business that I'm working in, man, I'm realizing like if somebody wants something a certain way, it ain't up to me to try to give them friction. Just do it, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
you transition over to ECW. Now, as a fan, like I would think ECW is so much different than the WWF, WWE. I mean, not just because it's a different style of wrestling. But I'm talking about the administrative side of it, the professionalism side of it, the way it works behind the scenes. Was ECW sort of like the same as WWE, or was it so much different? What was that experience like for you?
Oh, it was a lot different, man. ECW was wild. You know what I mean? That's why it was called Extreme Championship Wrestling, because it was extreme. Paul Lee, that's another mastermind, I respect so much. He's another mastermind. He he had a vision and he went with it. And, you know, before actually, let me go back a little bit. Before he actually took over ECW, I worked for the original guy that owned it, Todd Gordon, back in the 90s, in the mid-80s, when I first started in the 80s. And, you know, I worked with Todd Gordon, and that's when it was just called Eastern Championship Wrestling. And then when Paul took over, it was totally changed, man. He bring it to a different level, and the people loved it. And when we were working, I enjoyed working for Paul. I mean, it was wild, but it was a different wild. You know what I mean? It wasn't to where, you know, he had his vision. You know, he had his angles. He wanted, but he gave you that opportunity to come up with your own vision as well and work with it. He was able to work with you on what you wanted, you know, to do, what kind of angle or whatever you wanted to do on TV. And I just love the guy, man. Paul was great, man. It, locker room, it was wild. You know what I mean? There was some crazy stuff that went on, and I'm pretty sure you heard a lot of stuff and everybody knows there was some crazy stuff that went on, but, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world, man. It was great.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it, man. I'm getting chills talking to you, man. I've read your history. You've been a champion everywhere. Gosh, everywhere. Everywhere you went, you were a champion. Tag team champion, intercontinental champion, heavyweight champion. What is it like, or how does it feel when they select you in the back to be a champion? You know, because a lot of people, they want to say wrestling is quote-unquote fake, but somebody has to think you're worthy enough to hold a championship or get over. What is that like when the people in the back want you to be the one to get over?
Well, you nailed it right there. You know what I mean? You have to go out there and you have to bust your behind and make and prove that you can go out there and draw money. And, you know, God has blessed me with everywhere I go, I've always was able to do my job well. And people, you know, the promoters respect that. You know, you can get somebody, Tom, Dick, and Harry go out there and do a match, but if they ain't going to draw you a dime, then it's not, they're wasting their time. But apparently, you know, they've seen money in me and draw some money, and, you know, they decide, you know, we want to put this belt on him, and that's what they do, and I'm blessed for that, you know what I mean? And when I go out there and I wrestle, I give it not 100%, I give it 120%. And that's the way we were raised, to go out there and do your job. If you're going to go out there and do it well.
Man, oh, man. Wow, was there ever an instance where you didn't want to work with somebody in the ring because of they were dangerous? Did you come across those kind of situations?
Not really. I mean, there were guys out there. I mean, a lot of people had, you know, a lot of people were scared to work with the gangsters with, you know, in ECW. We ran a program with them, and, you know, I had no problem with them. I mean, whatever they gave us, we gave it right back. And that's what they liked, because, you know, they were rough and we were rough. And Paulie at that time, you know, he loved it. He knew that we were going to go out there, we were going to tear it down, and that's what we did. So, I mean, a lot of people were scared to work with them, and there was no fear in me. I mean, hey, we're going to go out there and do it. We're going to rock and roll. We're going to rock and roll. <All
right.
laughs> You know, and that's what we did, man. Did. So, I mean, it was, but in a lot of other places, it's more the opposite. A lot of people always scared to work. They say, I don't want to work the Samoans. I don't want to work them. You know, I mean, they're scared to work with us. But, I mean, we ain't going to go out there and kill you. I mean, if you know how to wrestle and you ain't scared to, you know, get down, then, you know, then we're going to be all right. You know, we ain't bad people, but we just going out there doing our job. That's what we got to do.
Yeah, because you guys leave it out there. Like, it's literally watching the Samoan wrestle. It's like watching somebody wrestle, giving their 110% all the time, no matter what.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 110, 120.
Yeah, exactly, 120. I do have one of our special contributors to the show. He does have a question for you. If you don't mind answering his question, I'm going to bring him on for a moment, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Hey, Kayvon, are you ready?
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Whew, man, Martez, I'm nervous right now. But one of the questions that's burning inside is, how do you feel about Roman, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers? How do you feel about Roman Reigns being your tribal chief of your family?
Well, he's a tribal chief in WWE, but the tribal chief of our family is my dad. You know, he's the eldest out of our family, so that's my tribal chief. With WWE, he's their tribal chief, and he's making money.
Okay. Now, was you surprised to see Alpha and Sika come out and put the beads around his neck?
I mean, I know my dad and my uncle were going to be there. They asked them to be there. That's some things that the WWE wanted to do, and they, that's some things that it's a little bit underneath the rug right now. But just waiting for the fans to see what's going to happen next.
Okay. Okay, now, how do you? I'm sorry, Martez, but how do you feel about Roman versus The Rock? How do you feel about that?
Hey, if they're gonna wrestle against each other, that's gonna be a moneymaker right there. So that's dollar signs in Vince McMahon's head, and I think if it happens, it's gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, that's it for me.
All right, man. All right. I appreciate your questions, man, and you stay blessed.
You too, sir. And thank you.
Whew. No problem. Anytime, brother. Anytime.
Now, thank you for answering those questions. Now, back to you. Currently, are you getting ready to get back in the ring? Do you have something lined up once everything gets back to normal, or do you have something already that you're involved with?
Yeah, well, I got a couple of things lined up, a few things lined up, actually. Like I said, besides wrestling, I have been law enforcement. I've been doing that as well, but I'm taking some time off from that, too. Right now, I just took three bookings so far for the end of the year and then going into January. And I got a few projects going on. I got a couple of movies I'm doing. I'm going to go to UK and I'm in a movie there. So once that opens up, I'll go over there and start filming that. And then I have another one in Utah in the summertime. So I got a few things lined up, hopefully with God's will and things, work out. And this COVID goes away, we can get that done.
Absolutely. And that's something that I wanted to touch on with you about, but as far as the acting, because I read that you are an actor. And of course, we would like to know, when did you get involved in acting? Why did you pursue that? How did it fall into your lap? How did that work out with you becoming an actor?
That's funny you said that, because my dad was doing some movies and he had a role on Bonfire of the Vanities with Tom Hanks. And so I went with my dad on it, and next thing you know, he was like, come on, son, come on. And I went in there and I was in the part, as an extra. And then from there, I was loving it. And then the agent that he had, she had some more work, and next thing you know, I started getting some, some scripts and doing some stuff for this agent. And then she got me booked on Law & Order, and I did a few things on Law & Order. Then I did a couple of commercials. I did one commercial when I was in Puerto Rico for Toyota. And then I was like, I was doing little things here and there. And I wasn't – my main thing right there was wrestling, you know what I mean? And I said, I'm going to concentrate on wrestling. But then again, I saw these opportunities coming up, so I took advantage of them. And then, you know, did a movie with Woody Allen, did another part with Michael Douglas in The Perfect Murder. You know, those mm-hmm. little things, you know, they all added up. Wow. And then my my best thing, you know, the best thing I did was, you know, helping my dad train Mickey Rourke. You know, my dad trained him for the wrestler movie. And mm-hmm. I had the opportunity a couple times to go and work with Mickey, and he's a great guy. So we went over there and, you know, helped him out a little bit and was part of that. And from there, I was like, you know what, I can continue, you know, doing stuff and, you know, heading in, you know, doing wrestling, but also doing some stuff in the movies. And next thing you know, I was doing some more little, you know, little shows here and there. I did MTV's Silent Library. I was on MTV, and then just recently did that Brisk Tea commercial for my cousin's movie Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh wow!
I don't know if you saw that. Me and Roman, we did that. You know, it actually was the trailer for the movie. You know, if you went to the movies and you saw it, that they played that, and then you know, was introduced to the movie. So I had a good time doing that. You know, and it's nothing better but working with family. We had a great time.
Oh my God, that's huge, man. That's huge, man. Hopefully, by me talking to you, and hopefully you approve of this interview, I may be a part of the family a little bit now.
You're all good, Ace. You're all right.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, we got a few more minutes to go. I got a few more questions to go with you. When it's all said and done, professional wrestling, or when it's all said and done in life in general, when it's all said and done in the world of acting and the law enforcement, what do you want people to remember of you, or what do you want people to take away from you? Because you've been around a lot of people, you've done a lot of things. Is there something you want people to remember? Do you want to leave a legacy, so to speak?
Well, it's just a blessing and a legacy to be part of my family, you know, of our family, you know what I mean? Just that alone, you know, it's a blessing, you know, for everything that all our family accomplished in the wrestling. But I want people to remember me as who I am. You know, I'm a caring and loving person, and, you know, I was raised that way, like I said, and, you know, I don't have too many enemies in this world, and if I do, you know, I hope they forgive me. But I just want people to remember me as me, and you know, and whenever I retire out of wrestling or law enforcement or whatever, when I'm just sitting in my house getting old, I want the people to remember me as me, Lloyd on Hawaii, as the person that I am.
Wow, that's huge, man. That's huge. Well, man, you know, being that we are short for time, I want to take these last few moments to say thank you. Thank you for coming on this show. Thank you for giving this platform a chance. Like I said, you could have been anywhere else. You could have been on anybody else's show, but you gave us a chance today, especially after I canceled a couple times due to crazy reasons. But I want to thank you for coming on and trusting this platform.
Nah, it's not a right. It's you know, things happen, man, but, you know, I appreciate you having me on your show, and, you know, I'd like to do it again anytime you want. You know, let me know, and I'll make myself available, and we can do this again, man. We could talk about some more stuff, but I appreciate it, man, and you continue staying blessed, and, you know, we're going to get through all this, and, you know, as time goes on, and we're going to keep it going.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you, man, and I love that scripture you put up. I believe it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. Like, I appreciate you putting that up, and hopefully it touched somebody.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, all man. Right. I try to put scriptures up as much as I can to enlighten somebody's life. You know, you don't know somebody's going through a hard time, or, you know, not just having trust in the Lord, and hopefully I can help somebody just get that spiritual touch and look at things in a different way.
Awesome, awesome. That's it. You're doing your thing. Well, once again, thank you for coming on, and definitely we got to talk behind the scenes about you coming back on at a different date. You have a good day. Have a blessed season out there, and take care.
All right, Oosh, you take care. God bless always.
God bless you. All right. What more can I say about this fine gentleman? You guys are listening on the site, on the website. You know who he is. But I will tell you this: you should take some time to go deeper into learning more about him, because before even talking to him, you know, I had a good feeling about it. I knew it was going to be a special show, and I'm so happy that he said yes to coming on the show. And the fact that he answered Kayvon's question about Roman and The Rock, you know, I got to give him some respect for that as well, because this show was about him, you know. But he was nice enough to still answer that question about those two guys. So shout out to Lloyd Ananiye. I got to practice that name, and I've always been bad with names. So next time you come on, I promise I'll be able to say his name correctly. But this has been a short edition of Wrestle Talking to D with Martez. I want to encourage you all to keep God first. Stay prayed up. Stay protected out here, not just from this virus, but from the plots and the schemes of the enemy, because the enemy roams. But this is a wrestling show, and we love wrestling. Don't forget to listen to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. It's coming up at 6:30 tonight. And then the Gorilla Position is coming up at 8 p.m. tonight. So we got more wrestling tonight, guys. More shows. I think these shows are going to go deeper into WWE, Impact Wrestling, AEW, things of that nature. Deathmatch Wrestling as well. All right, everybody, have a good night and be blessed.
I'm on my own, against the wall. The pressure's building, but no, I will never fall.